Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a saturated jungle pad in Ableton Live 12 that sounds deep, moody, and worn in, but still stays light on CPU. And that balance matters a lot in drum and bass, because once your session starts filling up with breaks, bass resamples, atmospheres, impacts, and effects returns, every extra processor starts to count. The big idea here is simple: make the pad sound good first. Then make it efficient. We're not trying to build the biggest synth stack possible. We're trying to make a pad that feels like it belongs in a real jungle tune, where the harmony is doing more than just sitting in the background. It should help define the intro, support transitions, and add emotional width without getting in the way of the kick, snare, or sub. So let's start lean. Load one MIDI track and choose a stock instrument like Waveedable, Operator, or Analog. If you want the most efficient route, Operator is super light. But for this lesson, Waveedable is a great sweet spot, because it gives you rich harmonics without needing a big layered setup. Keep the polyphony modest. 4 to 6 voices is plenty. If you go too wide too early, CPU climbs fast, and the pad can get blurry before it even gets musical. For the core sound, start with a saw on oscillator 1, then add a triangle or another saw on oscillator 2. You can tune the second oscillator up a seventh if you want a slightly denser, emotional haze, or leave it in unison if you want a fuller but simpler tone. Keep unison low, maybe 2 voices or even off, and don't overdo spread. The goal is richness, not super saw chaos. Set the filter to low pass, and begin with the cutoff somewhere around 400 Hz to 1.2 kHz, depending on how dark you want it. Then shape the envelope so the attack is soft, maybe 40 to 120 milliseconds, and the release is long, around 2.5 to 6 seconds. That gives the pad a smooth, breathing feel instead of a hard synth stab. For the harmony, think minor synths, sus 2 chords, root 5th octave shapes, or other simple voicings in the F2 to F4 range. In darker D than B, clarity beats complexity. If the chord is too busy, it will fight the break and the bass. Now let's add movement, but keep it subtle. This is where a lot of people go too far and turn the pad into a huge swirling wash. In jungle, you usually want movement that feels alive, not motion that screams for attention. Use a slow LFO on the filter cutoff, just enough to make the sound shimmer over time. Keep the depth light. You can also route a tiny bit of LFO to Waveedable position or fine pitch for a bit of organic instability. Again, very small amounts. Think texture, not effect. A really nice advanced move is to automate the filter across phrases instead of leaving it constantly animated. For example, keep the pad more closed in the first 4 bars, then gradually open it over the next 4 bars. By the end of the phrase, the harmony feels like it has expanded emotionally, which is perfect for a jungle intro or breakdown. That kind of movement feels musical and intentional, not synthetic. Now we bring in saturation. This is where the pad starts to feel smoked out and a little degraded in a good way. Use saturator first, because it's efficient and musical. Set drive somewhere around +2 to +6 dB, turn on soft clip, and make sure you trim the output so you're not just making it louder. Loudness can trick you. We want density and character, not fake improvement from volume. After saturator, use EQ8 to clean up the tone. High pass the pad somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz so it stays out of the sub region. If the low mids are clouding the break, make a gentle dip around 250 to 450 Hz. If it needs a little more presence, add a small shelf or bell in the 1.5 to 3 kHz range. But be careful, in D and B, too much upper mid boost can make the pad compete with the snare and the break texture. If you want a dirtier version, you can add a second saturator or a little drum bus. Just keep it restrained. You're not trying to destroy the tone. You're trying to give it that slightly rough, jungle-friendly edge. A really smart technique here is parallel processing. Set up an audio effect rack with one clean chain and one dirty chain. Keep the dirty chain high-passed and processed with saturation and a little filtering, then blend it in quietly. That gives you grime without overcooking the whole pad. Next, let's control the stereo image. This is crucial in drum and bass. The drums need a stable center. The sub needs a stable center. So the pad can be wide, but it should not smear the mono image or make the snare feel weak. Use utility after the tone shaping and set width somewhere around 110 to 140%, depending on the arrangement. If there's any low content left in the pad, keep it narrow or remove it. You can also use EQ8 so only the mid and high parts get the wider treatment. That way the atmosphere spreads out, but the foundation stays focused. For extra texture, add a light effects chain, but don't stack a bunch of heavy devices just because you can. A good low CPU chain might be auto filter, echo, and reverb. Auto filter can help shape the tone and create tension. Echo can add a filtered repeat that sits behind the break. Reverb can give the pad space, but keep it moderate. A decay of 1.5 to 4 seconds is usually enough. If you go too long, the tail will wash out the details in the drum arrangement. You can also use chorus ensemble or phaser flanger sparingly, but only if the pad really needs that extra motion. One smart DNB workflow is to put the reverb on a return track instead of directly on the pad. That way you can share the space with other elements and save CPU. It also makes automation easier when you want the pad to bloom in the intro and pull back in the drop. Now here's where the CPU savings become real. Commit the sound. Once the pad has the right character, freeze the track or resample it to Audito. This is a huge move in advanced DNB production. It locks in the tone you built, frees up processing power, and gives you audio to chop, reverse, or reprocess. In jungle and breakbeat music, printed audio often feels more authentic anyway. It has that sample-based vibe that fits the genre. After resampling, trim the clip, consolidate the best loop, and start thinking like an arranger. You can reverse a small slice before a fill, automate tiny volume fades, or make a short swell into the next section. You can even resample the resampled pad through saturation again if you want a more degraded, dusty result. That's a very jungle move. The pad stops being just a synth part and starts becoming part of the rhythm and transition language. Now arrange it like a real DNB record, not a loop demo. A strong structure might be a filtered pad in the intro, then a gradual opening over the next 8 bars, then a reduced or thinner version in the drop, so the drums and bass can hit harder. For example, in bars 1 to 8, keep the pad filtered and spacious. In bars 9 to 16, let it open up and add some tension. Then in the drop, either narrow it, high pass it more, or pull it back entirely so it doesn't steal impact from the groove. This is a key mindset shift. The pad should act like part of the arrangement, not a constant blanket. In darker rollers and jungle, it can answer the drums. Open it at the end of phrases. Close it on pickups. Let it breathe around the bassline. That call and response relationship is what makes the arrangement feel alive. Automation is where you make that happen. Automate filter cutoff to open in the intro and close in the drop. Automate saturation a little higher in breakdowns if you want more grit, then reduce it when the drums get busy. Automate the reverb send so the pad gets bigger before a transition, then drier when the groove lands. You can even automate utility width so the pad is wider in the intro and narrower in the drop. And if you want a classic jungle tension move, automate the filter and reverb into the last 2 bars before the drop, then cut or sharply reduce the pad right as the drums hit. That vacuum effect makes the drop feel way bigger. Now do a quick mix check. Solo is not enough. Always check the pad with the break and bass together. Ask yourself a few questions. Is it masking the snare crack? Is it clouding the kick or sub? Is the stereo width causing weird phase issues in mono? Is the saturation making it seem louder without actually earning its space? If the answer is yes, fix it. High pass more aggressively if needed. Reduce low mid buildup. Lower the pad level before adding more saturation. Check mono compatibility with utility, and compare it to a reference tune if you have one nearby. A really important coach note here: think spectral ownership. The pad doesn't need to own the whole spectrum. It just needs its own lane. In jungle, that usually means mid-range mood and upper air texture, while the drums and sub stay dominant. If the pad is trying to fill every gap, the mix will get muddy fast. Let it be selective. Let it show up when it adds value, then disappear when the break needs space. If you want to go a step further, build multiple versions of the same pad. Make an intro version that's wide, filtered, and atmospheric. Make a breakdown version that's a bit more open and saturated. Then make a drop support version that's narrower, darker, and more controlled. Print at least one of those to Audito. That gives you a full pad system you can use across the arrangement without reopening a heavy synth every time. Here's a great mini practice move. Build a clean pad, a saturated pad, and a chopped audio version with a reverse swell. Then place them into a simple 16-bar loop. Use the filtered version in the intro. Open it in the middle, then reduce or hard cut it near the drop. Finally, listen in mono and make one adjustment to improve break clarity. That one exercise will teach you a lot about how pads really function in DNB. So to recap, start with a lean stock instrument. Keep the voicing simple. Shape movement subtly. Saturate after the sound is already working. Control width and low mids carefully. And commit to audio when the tone is right. Use the pad like a real arrangement tool, not just a static harmony layer. If you do that, you'll get a jungle pad that feels rich and moody, but still leaves room for the drums to smash through, and that's the win here. Atmosphere with discipline, grit with control, and a sound that feels expensive without eating your CPU. Perfect for big Ableton Live 12 sessions, and absolutely ready for breakbeats.